thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This evening, we're going to continue our series on 2 Peter. And like last week, we're focusing in again on only one short verse, although we will read verses 1 and 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. And here's the verse we're focusing on this evening. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I simply could not pass over this introductory verse as it's absolutely packed full of such wonderful and potentially life-changing truth. To be completely honest with you, I have been astounded as I've been meditating on this verse over the past week, and I've come to see that in only a few short words of greeting and introduction, it isn't just that Peter has packed in so much truth to such a few words, but that he has actually handed to us the master key to unlock everything that God has for us. Now, I realise that is a very bold statement to make, but listen and follow carefully this evening as we take hold of the master key that has the potential to transform how you and I live our everyday lives. I'm going to look at this text tonight under three headings. The master key, point one, then grace, glorious grace, and peace, powerful peace. So firstly, the master key. If you've ever worked in a big building, probably like an office building or something, with lots of rooms, with locks on their door, you will know that although each person has a lock to their own particular door, their office or whatever, there is one person who has the master key to the building. So if you lock yourself out or you lose or forget your key, you just go to the person with the master key and they can have the special key. They can open the door for you. And this image of the master key came to mind as I was thinking about this text. Because as Peter writes this greeting, we have the master key, not just to unlock this letter, but to unlock the whole Bible, actually, and everything that God has for his people. I can see some of you thinking, really? Yes, really. Because although Peter's writing to these Christians what is a pretty standard Christian greeting, grace and peace be yours in abundance, that's a pretty standard Christian greeting of the time, but then he hands over the master key to them and to us. What is the master key to experiencing both of these, grace and peace, and every other blessing of the Christian life? They come through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the master key. Everybody needs grace. Not true? Everybody's looking for peace. Not true. But where can they be found? They can only truly be found through knowing God and his Son, Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to look at more fully at grace and peace, but I want first to to ground everything I say this evening in this one essential truth of the Scriptures. The abundant grace and peace that Peter is referring to here reflects the truth that the relationship we, each one of us, sinful human beings, have with God is entirely dependent on the character and provision of God. Isn't that the truth? We're sinful human beings. In our sinful state, there is nothing at all any of us could do to enter into any kind of relationship with God. We were spiritually dead. That's what the Bible says. We were God's enemies. We were opposed to Him. We had a sinful nature. So we were utterly dependent on God to provide the way for us to come to Him. And He has done that. Why? Because of His character. Because He is a God of grace. Praise be to His wonderful name. He's a God of grace. And His provision for us is to open up a way into His very presence through the death of His Son in our place and on our behalf, and say, through my Son, here is grace. Grace. Glorious grace. Praise God. I expect to see a few nods or smiles or something. Otherwise, I'm really worried about yous. And the peace that Peter's referring to here, how does it come? It comes as a result of this restored relationship with God, because grace always comes before peace. You can't have the peace if you haven't received the grace. So many people in this world seeking peace, even many people seeking to have and to know the peace of God in their hearts, but it's impossible to experience God's peace if you haven't first experienced His grace. So if you want to have grace and peace, you need to know God and Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what Peter's saying here. He's saying it's not enough to know about God. It's not enough to know about Jesus, but to actually know Him in an experiential and a personal way. Peter makes that clear time and again throughout his letters. The only way to know God is through Jesus. We live in a time when a lot of people want to know God, but they want to know God by their own way, by all sorts of different ways. But the Bible makes it clear, if you want to know the one true God, the God of the Scriptures, the only way to know Him is through His Son, through Jesus Christ. And as in any relationship we don't know everything about somebody all at once. I've lived with Graham for 30 years this past May. That's a long time. Yeah, I'm grey and he's bald, and that sums it up. A long time. And yet sometimes I'm still surprised at him. Because you don't, no matter how long you live with somebody, some people be married 65 years, 70 years, they still don't know everything about the other person. How much more is that true of God? God, we get to know Him, but we don't know everything about Him. Is that not one of the most exciting aspects of the Christian life, that we get to know more of God through His Word as the Holy Spirit leads us and teaches us? And this growing knowledge should lead to more of a transformed life, more change, more transforming into the image of Jesus. Real knowledge is not about a head full of facts, good as facts are, and they're important, but part of the true evidence of a real knowledge of God is the abundance of grace and peace in your life. Right? Yeah? That's where the evidence is. Honestly, sometimes as Christians, we're far too heavenly minded, really. We need to be a bit more realistic. Is there grace? Is there peace in my life, in my heart? Because that's the evidence that I know God through Jesus Christ. You know, in our English translations, we don't get the full meaning here of that word knowledge. You might or you might not know, but starting in the later time of the early church here that's written about and on into the second century, knowledge was a big thing. There was a group called the Gnostics. You don't really need to know that. But anyway, it was a Greek word, gnosis, is a word for knowledge. That's not the word Peter uses here. That was the word that many people, false teachers in the churches, were boasting about, this knowledge, all about facts and puffing yourself up because you knew all this stuff about God. That's not what Peter's talking about. If you're interested, he uses the Greek word epinosis. It's to do with a full, an intimate knowledge, an experiential knowledge, a personal knowledge, a heart knowledge of God. That's what he's talking about. It's about knowing God, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, that changes our lives. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful not just to say, I know A, B, C, D, E about God, but I know him. When that worry threatens to invade my heart, I know him. When that unforgiveness threatens to eat me up, I know him. That's what it's about. An abundance. Peter's talking about abundance. What's an abundance? What image comes to your mind in abundance? I have a very strange image in my mind about abundance. Years ago, I watched a series of wee short films about plagues. And this film will be some of your worst nightmare. It was somewhere in America, and there was these massive grain barns. I mean, massive. You already know what I'm going to say. Never mind the grain, there'd be an abundance of grain spilling out. They opened the doors of these barns. I don't know how people were standing there. They opened the doors, and I'm taught millions of mice ran out of these barns. There was an abundance of mice. Now, if you've ever had 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 of them in your house, you know how they freak you out. But there was millions of them. There was an abundance. That's the image in my mind. An abundance, you could have an abundance of food. Cupboards coming down with food. Some of you probably have an abundance of clothes. You're into somebody else's wardrobe. You're in boxes in the attic. Some of you have an abundance of money. Talk to me later. But the truth that Peter is saying here, do you have an abundance of grace and peace? Do you? Wow, grace and peace in abundance. Overflowing. So much of it. It's overflowing from your life. Where do you get it? From knowing God and Jesus Christ. That's where you get it. Secondly, grace, glorious grace. This is not a hands-up question, okay? Just in case. Does anybody here live a perfect, sinless life day after day? Any day? That's why I said it's not hands-up, because I was too worried in case somebody would put their hand up. The answer to that question is none of us. None of us ever live a sinless life on any day of our lives. Whether we sin in word or thought or deed, maybe what we do wrong or that we don't do something that we ought to do, we sin each and every day. Now, hopefully we don't take that lightly, but if you know your own heart, you know it's the truth. And therefore, we understand we always stand in need of God's glorious grace. That is why, see that last song that we sang? That is one of my favourite songs. Because for some people, there might be looking back to when they first become a Christian and think, yes, that's the grace. And yes, that was the grace. Today, I stand there today singing that song. Today, I stood in need of grace, glorious grace. Hallelujah. The grace that you and I, and most of us here are believers, that we stand in need of every day, and we get it in abundance, is the grace that we are called on to extend to others. Now, I think this is a much more challenging aspect of grace. We need it, we're happy to receive it, but are we as keen to give it to others as we are to receive it ourselves? Now, of course, we think we are, and then somebody comes along and, well, maybe they're just annoying, or we find them difficult to cope with, or they provoke a reaction in us, or we don't like them. Well, they frustrate us, they hurt us. Most of us know somebody like this. And you think, well, you could just give them a wide berth. You could just ignore them or avoid them. Well, what if you work with them every day? What if you live with them? What if they're in the church with us? Not that that would ever be the case, of course. But how do we deal with them? How do we deal with those people? The answer, grace, glorious grace. It's a lifelong journey of learning to extend to others the grace that we ourselves have received in Jesus Christ. What was the grace that was extended to us? It came to us when we were undeserving. It came to us when we were ungrateful. It came to us when we ignored it. It came to us when we rejected it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message of God's grace to the undeserving, ungrateful, ignoring, rejecting sinners. And yet God still poured his grace abundantly into our lives through Jesus Christ. Friends, that is the grace that we as believers have to extend to others. This evening, if you've never experienced this grace for yourself, I want to let you know it's available to you tonight. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, we are all by nature objects of wrath, objects of God's wrath. In our sinful human state, because that's what we're born in, with that predisposition to follow our own desires and do our own thing rather than it pleases God, we are under God's wrath. Now, many people don't recognize that because they think, well, if this is me being under God's wrath, it's okay because my life's okay at the moment. It doesn't seem to be too bad to live under God's wrath at the moment. Possibly, yes, but there's a day coming when God will judge the living and the dead. And on that day, those who have rejected his grace, those who have rejected Jesus Christ, will experience the full outpouring of the wrath of God and will hear him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." On that day, the outpouring of his wrath. How awful, friends. How awful. To be cast forever into outer darkness. This is what the gospel message of God's grace is all about. That on the cross, Jesus Christ, who had lived that completely sinless life, obeyed God in every respect, overcame every temptation. He died on that cross and he took upon himself God's wrath against your sin. He died in your place as your substitute. He took God's wrath for you so that God's grace could be freely available to you just by believing in him. Isn't that amazing? This is the divine exchange. No wonder we sing about his grace, his glorious grace. Anyone who knows their own heart, who understands how sinful it is, understands what an offense to a holy God our sin is, understands how glorious and amazing this grace is. If you want some homework, get a wee concordance or something and do a study right through the Old Testament and the New Testament on the word grace. You'll be amazed. Isaiah 26:10 says, though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Jonah 2:8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. 2 Timothy 1:9, grace given to us in Christ before the beginning of time. That's another of those mind-blowing verses. We'll read that again. Grace given to us in Christ before the beginning of time. 1 Peter 1:10, prophets spoke of this grace that was to come to us. Says we are called by grace. Grace is freely given. Grace strengthens us. Grace brings salvation. It is a justifying grace. We can insult the spirit of grace. We can fall from grace. We can receive more grace. We can grow in grace. Grace can be abused. There is a throne of grace to find grace and help in times of need. And there will be more grace, 1 Peter 1:13, there will be more grace when Jesus is revealed the second time. Grace, glorious grace. And finally and briefly this evening, peace, perfect peace. Here's a personal question. Is there any situation in your life right now that's causing you anxiety, fear, worry, or frustration? Is there something going on that is robbing your peace or that threatens to rob your peace? Peace, perfect peace, an abundance of peace. The Christians that Peter's writing to here are living in very dangerous and uncertain times. There's a lot of persecution against Christians raging around. Many Christians were not even sure of life itself. Many had lost homes, jobs, families, everything. And it seems there was always something to worry about. And on top of that, even within the church, there was some teaching being brought in that was opposed to the sound gospel that had been presented by the apostles. There was no social media. There was no YouTube, Facebook, televangelists, but there were itinerant preachers who went around spreading their message far and wide. And it was always a danger getting sucked into something that sounded so plausible, but it drew them away from the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. Oh, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. So some of these believers were struggling to experience peace in their minds and hearts. And Peter was pointing them and us to the source of abundant peace. He's saying, this abundant peace comes through knowing God and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. To experience the true peace of God, of course, you first have to experience peace with God. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:14, Jesus, he himself is our peace. He made peace with God for us on the cross. And as a consequence of that, all the peace of God is available to every single one of us in every situation. Really? Yeah. Yeah, really. Are you one of the Christians? The problem is, I actually know some of you are because you've already told me you are, so that's a bit embarrassing, but I'm going to say it anyway. So I'm not directing this at you if you've said this to me, because more than one of you have said it. Are you one of the Christians who say, oh, it's just in my nature to worry? You know, it's just the way I am. My mother was a worrier. My father was a worrier. So I'm a worrier. Some of you have said that to me. So I'm not directing this directly at you. We make excuses. We make excuses. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what's available. It is available. And as Christians, sometimes we just kind of lay that aside because we find it easier to worry, because it is absolutely 100% more natural for us to worry than to experience the peace of God. Why? Because we still give in to the sinful nature, and the sinful nature is worry. That's what it's about. It's worry, fear, frustration, anxiety. But you don't have to. The text that's on the front wall as you come in the door there in the foyer, Philippians 4, 6, 7. Do not be anxious about anything. It doesn't just say about the really big, out of control things. It says about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. If there was just, well, there is a full stop there, but if there was just a full stop there and nothing else, we might struggle with that. But then comes the promise, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That's talking about an abundance right there. That transcends all understanding because it is not natural. It's not human. It is supernatural. And it is available for you tonight. If I brought somebody out here to the front tonight who had one leg and I prayed for them and the other leg grew, well, that'd be a first for me and probably for you as well. You'd be saying, there was a miracle at church tonight. Yes, there would have been a miracle. Do you know what would be as great a miracle? If you believed this verse, these verses, if you believed it and you experienced it, and the thing that is causing you anxiety, the thing that has given you fear, the thing that is worrying you, if you brought it to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and then you experienced the supernatural, transcending, abundant peace of God, that would be a miracle. Yes. And it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a guarding peace. Many of you in this room could quote those verses off by heart, maybe in even two or three different Bible versions. Do you believe it? But do you believe it? Because the difference, that's what I'm saying, in knowing in the head knowledge and knowing in experience, they are actually worlds apart. To be truthful, there are professors of theology in universities and colleges teaching the Bible. They're teaching head knowledge, not all of them, obviously, but they don't really know it. They know all the facts. They could put us to shame with the facts, but they don't experience it. There are people sitting here tonight who couldn't maybe even quote a couple of verses, who'd be struggling with some Bible knowledge, but you're experiencing it. I'd rather be in your seat. I'd rather be in your seat than just know it in my head and not know it in my life. It's good to have both, actually. It's good to have both. But this is available tonight. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through our knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why don't you avail of it tonight?
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.